Do you remember the game that you used to play when you were young, hide and seek? It's been a while. I was starting to reflect on it this past week. You know, how you'd put down your head and you'd count. Maybe you'd count to 25, right? And all of the others would scatter about, go over. And I was thinking, you know, I bet you sometime in the past, kids were playing hide and seek in this building. I bet that was the case. There's a lot of places that you could hide in this building, let me tell you. That would be one great game in this building. But then after, you know, you count to 25, you say, ready or not, here I come. And you go out to look for the other people who are not it, okay? Most of us who are believers have it in our minds that Jesus Christ could come at any time. We've read those passages and we've had the messages preached. However, Jesus is not going to announce, ready or not, here I come. There's not going to be any warning. He's going to come, the Bible says, when we least expect it. And yet the Lord wants us to live in such a way that his coming should not take us by surprise, but we'd be prepared for his coming. You know what? June and Don, I forgot my advancer. I just remembered it right now. So I'm just going to just signal you, okay, June? I'll just go like that, and I want you to move it forward, okay? Go ahead. You can move it ahead here. And even after you read this one, we'll go on to the next slide, and you can go ahead. But, you know, we get so preoccupied, and we forget. And one of the things that I was thinking of, even as the new year comes, this new year, I want to be ready for Jesus coming. I want to remember it. I want to keep it in the forefront of my mind. But it's so hard when we have all these distractions that come into our lives and we forget about it. But you know, even in the early days of the early church, there were people who didn't understand his coming. Do you realize the book of Thessalonians says that there were people that quit their jobs? They might have went on some mountain somewhere. They were just kind of just waiting for us to come and they weren't working. And the apostle Paul had to correct them and says, no, that's not it. If you don't work, you ought not to work, eat even. So a lot of us get preoccupied, but we don't really know how to be ready for his coming. So we're going to look at this today, preparations for his coming, preparations for the new year. And I remembered a word that means preparation in the Greek language. I was thinking about this word. It's a common word. And I said, well, this week I'm just going to trace down that word. And you know what? I was really surprised by what I discovered. So I'm going to share some of those things with you this morning. And I think one of the ways that we can be prepared for his coming is if we make other preparations. And I'll explain that in a little bit. Say that again. One of the ways that we can be prepared for his coming is to make other preparations. Okay? And right now, I just want to bow for a word of prayer. And I want to ask that the Lord would instruct us in that, if possible, for this new year, we would really be ready for his coming. If we keep on looking and we keep on watching and we keep on waiting, we're going to find it's going to change our lives. In 1 John it says, he that has this hope in him of his coming purifies himself even as he is pure. So it causes us to be pure in our lives if we were expecting him at any moment. Let's pray to that end right now. Our Heavenly Father, I just pray, Lord, that you would help me now to speak this message, Lord. Made preparations even for the PowerPoint, and then I forgot the advancer this morning. That's all right. We understand that things come up. We are not perfect. But Heavenly Father, I just pray through, even as we look at some of these things this morning, you would instruct us, and may we hold, and may we keep things in memory this morning. May we put it with our heart to have great desire. And even as we pray it right now, Lord, that you would help us to be prepared for your coming. Even throughout this new year, we pray it for Christ's glory. Amen. Okay, I believe the very best way, as I mentioned, that you and I can be ready for the Lord's coming is to making the proper preparations for the work the Lord would have us to do right now. So let's look together at this matter of making preparations for the Lord. Okay, the first
I want you to consider is what God has prepared, and then we're going to look at scriptural instructions on preparations believers ought to make. And right away, I have to dispel a type of thinking that have been true of some believers. There's a passage in Mark chapter 13 which cites this. But when Jesus is speaking, he says, when they arrest you and deliver you up, do not worry beforehand or premeditate on what you will speak. But whatever is given you in that hour, speak that, for it is not you who speak, but the Holy Spirit. You know, there are some churches, especially down in the South, that say preachers should not come into the pulpit with notes. They say that's not relying upon the Holy Spirit at all. You want to come up with the fire of the Holy Spirit in your heart. If you got notes on paper, you don't have the fire in your heart. But let me tell you, the passage in chapter of Mark there is talking about a specific situation. When you're before a tribunal, when you're before a council of men, government officials, and they're asking you about your belief in Jesus Christ, as Paul had to present before the when he was in jail before Agrippa, Festus, Felix, or when Stephen had to give preparation before the council of the Jewish leaders, the Sanhedrin, Jesus said, don't prepare in your heart at that time because the Holy Spirit's going to give you words at that moment. But I was shocked literally when I went and I looked up these words for preparation. God is a God of preparation. And you and I need to be people of preparation. And I might just add a couple words in here. That's not human planning. It's actually discovering what God's will is for our lives and making preparations for those things, down to little nitty-gritty things. We're going to be looking at that this morning. But thinking, first of all, how a God, the preparations the Lord has made, okay, first, he has prepared a wonderful kingdom for those who trust him. Listen to these passages now. Hebrews 11:6. For now they desire, talking about the saints in time past, they desire, that is, a heavenly country. Therefore God is not ashamed to be called their God, for he has prepared a city for them. See, God has prepared a place for us. Okay, Matthew 25:34, Jesus telling this parable about the sheep and the goats, and he says, then the king will say to those on his right hand, come, you blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. Can you imagine that? God has been preparing this kingdom from the foundation of the world. A lot of preparation has been made. Now, I don't know about you, but when I look at the beauty of this world, when we get this fresh snowfall, don't you like these snowfall scenes and the way the snow just blankets the trees and it just looks, everything looks so fresh and it looks so beautiful. God is a God of infinite creativity. Now, when you see what you see, whether it's the sunsets, whether it's the Rocky Mountains, whether it's the ocean, all that this world has was created by God in 6 days. The Bible says, eye has not seen, ear has not heard, neither has entered into the hearts of man the thing that the Lord has, what? Prepared for those who love him. You ought to lick your lips and just dream and consider, if this God of infinite creativity, infinite variety, can you imagine what he's been doing preparing this kingdom from the foundation of the earth? Woo! Is it going to be something to be part of that kingdom? Again, in Matthew 22, it said, again he went out. He's talking about the marriage supper of the Lamb now, his marriage feast. Again, he sent out other servants saying, Jesus is talking in a parable. Tell those who are invited, see, I have prepared my dinner. My oxen and fatted calf are killed, and all these things are ready or prepared. Come to the wedding. The Lord has prepared a marriage feast for those who have trusted in him. Well, then, not only has he prepared a wonderful kingdom for those who trust him, but he's also prepared people to be holy so that they could enter his glorious kingdom. Luke chapter 1, verse 17, talking about John the Baptist, before Jesus coming, he was going to, it says here, he will also go before him. in the spirit and power of Elijah, that is John the Baptist, to turn the hearts of the fathers to the children and the disobedient to the wisdom of the just, to make ready a people prepared for the Lord. That's John the Baptist's calling, was to prepare hearts, to prepare people. When they brought baby Jesus into Simeon, Simeon made this prophecy. He says, "Lord, now let your servants depart, for my eyes have seen your salvation, which you have prepared for before the face of all the peoples, a light to bring revelation to the Gentiles and the glory of your people Israel." In 1 Peter 1, Peter said to believers, "You are kept by the power of God through faith for salvation, ready or prepared to be revealed in the last time." In John, talking about the new city, Jerusalem, coming down from heaven from God, it says, "Prepared as a bride adorned for her husband." God is doing a work preparing this kingdom, but he's also preparing the hearts of men to receive this kingdom. Now, I ran across a passage that I really had to think about, and I said, well, this is really interesting. It's cool, actually. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verses 1 through 6. Now listen to this, Apostle Paul writing, "For we know that if our earthly house, this tent, is destroyed, we have a building from God, a house not made with hands, eternal in the heavens. For in this we groan, earnestly desiring to be clothed with our habitation which is from heaven. If indeed, having been clothed, we shall not be found naked. For we who are in this tent groan, being burdened, not because we want to be unclothed, but further clothed, that mortality may be swallowed up by life. Now he who has prepared us for this very thing is God, who has also given us the Spirit as his a guarantee. So we are always confident, knowing that while we are at home in the body, we are absent from the Lord." Now this is what I'm telling you. I don't necessarily want to die right now. I want to serve the Lord. I'd hope to live to be a long life. And I'm sure many of you are the same way. But listen, when we come to that point, whether it be by accident or whether it be a long-term illness, do we realize what God has prepared? Absent from the body, present with the Lord. And he'll put in our heart through the guarantee of the Spirit that he's prepared our heart for death. This is wonderful. We, as believers, do not have to be afraid of dying. It's from this body, not to be a naked spirit. He's got some type of clothing up there until this body is resurrected. We go to be with him, and he has this intermediate wardrobe right now. Is that wonderful or what? You and I do not have to be afraid of death. I would like to be, though, serve the Lord in such a way so that, like when D.L. Moody was on his deathbed, he said, this is it. This is it. This is the time I'm leaving. He said, this is glory. The Lord gave him maybe a glimpse of it in advance of what it was going to be like. Would you like to have that experience in your life so that when you came to the point of your death, you could hardly wait? This is going to be wonderful. So that's something that God has prepared. He's prepared the hearts of believers. But let's go on to some things that aren't not necessarily so easy to deal with. As difficult as it is, though, the Lord has prepared to judge mankind. And he's going to send beings which have rebelled against him to a place of incarceration and punishment. That's a horrible thought. And we need to do all we can to get the message of salvation out. The Bible says that hell was prepared for the devil and his angels. It was not prepared for man. But men are going to go there. God is going to judge, and he's got to. He's a righteous God. If men go into eternity without having their sins paid for, they're going to have to pay for them. There's no other way. God is a just God. Romans chapter 9. "What if God, wanting to show his wrath and to make his power known, endured with much long suffering the vessels of wrath prepared for destruction?" What a horrible thing. But it goes on to say, "And that he might make known the riches of his glory on the vessels of mercy, which he has
prepared beforehand for glory. Oh, I want to be on among those who are prepared by God for glory, don't you? But it's horrible. In the book of Revelation, God prepared many things to judge this planet one day. I won't go through them all, but there's like five or six things that are going to happen that God has prepared ahead of time. Now listen, we're talking about the way prepares even for judgment, but the Lord also prepares things ahead of time to deal with his disobedient servants. If you and I, who are believers in Jesus Christ, think that we can do whatever we want and get by with it, you're badly mistaken. Now I'm a grandfather. When our kids come over, I don't discipline the grandkids. If I'm substituting, maybe we'll, keep things corrected. But I let mom and dad take care of that job, right? Grandparents can do give the candy and then send the kids along their way, right? But you know what? God is a wise father. He knows when we are doing, he knows what's wrong in our heart. And if we think we can slip and get by, forget it. We saw in our teen class that I was substituting for Gabby how this teen girl was rebelling and she did many things that were wrong. But her grandparents had cameras and they caught her doing wrong. And they found her phone and found out all the texts that were wrong in that phone too. She was severely punished. But God doesn't need any cameras. God doesn't need any of our cell phone records, does he? He knows right away. And you know, it's kind of interesting. Thomas had presented recently on Wednesday night the book of Jonah. It's interesting in the book of Jonah. Four things that said God prepared in advance. He knew that Jonah was going to rebel against him, the prophet. It says, first of all, chapter 1, the Lord had prepared a great fish to swallow Jonah. I don't believe it was a whale. I believe it was just a big fish. But I tell you what, this was an unusual fish, but God prepared it. Can you imagine? I mean, I can't think of a more horrible punishment, first of all, than to have a claustrophobic condition, being really dark, being really slimy and acidic type juices, not being able to breathe in the belly of a fish. I mean, can you think of a worse punishment than that? I mean, this was a prophet that was rebellious against God. I'm not going to do what he tells me to do. God is a way of punishing that you don't want to have any part of his punishment, do you? And he delivered him out. When he prayed, he delivered him out. But then it goes on. Three other things he prepared. He went and he preached to the city of Nineveh then. Maybe his skin eaten up with gastric fluids in the belly of this fish. He comes, he might have been a sight. But he prepared. The Lord's going to judge the city, and the people, from the king down to the animals, they all covered themselves with sackcloth and repented, right? Nineveh repented. There was never a revival like that when Jonah came to Nineveh. But he went outside the city and he sat down and he was waiting to see if God would judge that city. He wanted God to judge that city. And it says here, and the Lord prepared a plant and made it come up over Jonah. We're talking about hot, hot conditions. And there was this plant that came up in a night. The Lord prepared it and it shaded Jonah. And Jonah was glad. But that's not all the Lord had prepared. It said also, but as morning dawned the next day, God prepared a worm. And it ate the plant. Can you imagine this? All these things prepared in advance for his disobedient prophet. A plant coming up gives him shade, and then a worm comes and eats the plant. So it withers and dies. And you know how what Jonah's reaction was? Oh man, he starts really feeling sorry for himself. But the Lord's not done. It says, and it happened that when the sun arose, that God prepared a vehement east wind, and the sun beat on Jonah's head so that he grew faint and he wished death for himself. And it said, it's better for me to die than to live. Can you believe this guy? You know, and you might say, well, let's not just make fun of Jonah. Well, we can make fun of Jonah. You know why? Because Jonah wrote the book. He's tattling on himself. He knew he had done wrong, but his attitude wasn't right. And you know what? Our attitude can be pretty pitiful at times as well. And he wishes to die now. And then Jonah, and the Lord asks, Jonah, is it right for you to be angry at this? And he says, it is right for me to be angry. I wish to die. And the Lord said, look it. You had pity on this plant that you didn't work for. It grew up for you. You had nothing to do with it. And yet you had pity on that plant. Should not I have pity? A plant that's lifeless. It has no soul. It has no feelings. And you had pity on that plant. Should not I have pity on these people of Nineveh? Huh? Who don't know their right hand for their left hand, if that's talking about children and many livestock. The Lord was even concerned about the animals, which I believe do have a soul, maybe not a spirit, but a soul. Shouldn't I be concerned about that? And he leaves Jonah thinking about that, this disobedient prophet. The Lord has a way of preparing things ahead of time, even if we're going to be disobedient. Listen, let's cut that off at the pass. Don't plan on doing things you know are displeasing the Lord, because the Lord has a way of punishing, and he prepares those things in advance. But the Lord, again, contrary to that, has prepared a way of living with rewards for those who are obedient to him. You know, one of my favorite verses in Scripture is this, Ephesians 2:10. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus. We're given this new birth, we're a new creation, and he's created us in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. You ever have one of those big snowfalls and you don't have your boots and there's somebody who goes before you and they go in this and they stamp over here and they walk like this? And what do? When you don't have boots? You just go, well, I better go in this one and that one. You ever done that? Well, that's the way it works. And it's kind of like that. The Lord has footprints, works that he's prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. And each one of us is individual. Rachel, he's got things for you to do that somebody else wouldn't do, right? Because you're a nurse, he knows exactly, and he's got things that he wants you to do. Each one of us. He's got works prepared for each one of us. How wonderful is that? And he's got rewards connected with these things. In Matthew 20:23, you know, James and John came to the Lord and they said, and they got their mother to ask this question. I want this son of mine to sit on your right hand and this son to sit on your left hand. And the Lord says, you don't know what you're asking. Can you be baptized with the baptism? I'm going to be baptized. Oh, yeah, we can do that. I didn't have any idea. And the Lord says to him, you will indeed drink my cup and be baptized with the baptism that I am baptized with. But to sit on my right hand and on my left hand is not mine to give, but is for those for whom it is prepared. There's going to be two people sometime who lived on this planet who are going to sit on the right hand of Jesus on the left hand. We don't know who they are. Could it have been the Apostle Paul? We don't know. But there's ones who are going to be deserving of those positions. Those positions have been prepared for two people. But the Lord has things prepared for those who are going to serve him. And his reward is going to be wonderful. So the point I want to make here in this whole first half of the message is that God is a God who prepares things in advance. And his preparations are very thorough. He's considered everything. His plan is very detailed. Now, but as we go on, we see that his servants also ought to make preparations. Okay? There are some preparations which we ought to make. Okay? There are things which believers must prepare for or be prepared for. First one is just in general, they must be prepared for Christ's coming. Luke chapter 12, if you would turn over, I want you to look at this passage. Luke chapter 12, verse 35. Catch up with me. I'm going to start to read it. Luke chapter 12, verse 35. Let your waist be girded and your lamps burning,
and you yourselves be like men who wait for their master when he will return from the wedding, that when he comes and knocks, they may open to him immediately. Blessed are those servants whom the master, when he comes, will find watching. Assuredly, I say to you, he will gird himself and have them sit down to eat and will come and serve them. And if he should come in the second watch or come in the third watch and find them so, blessed are those servants. But know this, that if the master of the house had known what hour the thief would come, he would have watched and not allowed his house to be broken into. Therefore, you also be ready, for the Son of Man is coming at an hour you do not expect. Have any of you had something stolen from you out of your home? Have any of you had that? I know, Jason, you had a vehicle that was stolen not too long ago. Taken. I remember Carla had a vehicle that was stolen from the Moody parking lot. When you went there, it was gone. I remember when we lived on Brooks in Pontiac, Michigan, I got up in the one time and I looked. I don't know when it happened. My tools were gone. I had a big box of tools I had accumulated over a period of time. And let me tell you, time after time after time, I went to look for a tool, and guess what? It was gone. I said, if that person, whoever took these tools, if they knew the aggravation they'd cause by stealing my tools, oh, it took me a while to gather up enough tools again. But when you come there, when something is taken, you don't realize it's gone, and all of a sudden, what happened? It's gone. See, and so Jesus is saying, there's a likeness of this. If you knew that that person was coming, you would have prepared, and you would have watched, and you would have been ready for the thief to come. But that it's going to be like that when Jesus Christ comes. He's going to come in an hour, and we're not looking for him when we don't expect it. So how we ought to be, should we say, well, should we quit our job and keep on watching and waiting? No, that's not the answer. We're going to keep on looking. That's in general. We need to be watching. We need to be waiting. And I want to ask you this. If the Lord came today, right today now, would you be ready for his coming? Because there are some people that says here, that are going to be ashamed when he comes. In 1 John 2:21, 2:22, now little children, abide in him, that when he appears we may have confidence and not be ashamed before him at his coming. You know, when you're not thinking about it, you're doing your own thing, you're not necessarily being careful about the Lord's business, and all of a sudden your thought is, what if he comes today? Would you be ready? Or would you be ashamed? Have you done that with yourself? I've done that, and you know what? There are many times I've said, I would be ashamed if he came right now. And it wasn't as I was doing something really evil. It was just that I was just doing my own thing, preoccupied with my own things rather than thinking about him and his work. Does that make sense? You and I have got to be ready, and we got to be about the business of doing our Father's work. So how do we do that? How are we to be ready? Well, let's go on to the specifics now. Believers need to make daily preparations in light. First of all, their hearts need to be prepared. Our hearts need to be prepared. That's why John the Baptist came. He preached repentance that people would be ready for the coming of the Lord. And talking about some of the things that John said and ready, making people, the hearts ready. You know, when the people ask him, what do we do? And he says, he who has two tunics, let him give to him who has none. He who has food, let him do likewise. And tax collectors and said, what shall we do? And he said, collect no more taxes than one is appointed to you. And the soldiers asked him, saying, what shall we do? And he said, do not intimidate anyone or accuse falsely, and be content with your wages. You see, a heart prepared is a heart that is ready to do good works. Now, there are many examples of preparations, and this is what I was telling you that I was surprised at when I looked at these words in the New Testament. You and I need to make specific preparations in light of being prepared for the Lord's coming. So, well, what do you mean? Well, listen, Do you realize that when Jesus and his disciples, he was going to have Passover, what did he do? He sent a couple of the disciples to prepare the room at which he was going to have the supper. Now, how many times might you have read that and never thought about that? The room had to be prepared. So here these disciples were. They were making preparations. They were making God's preparations, but they were preparing. And not only that, it went on and says, they prepared the Passover meal. They were, when that night came and Jesus was coming with the rest of the disciples, the animal had already to be dressed. It already had to be cooked. Think about that. That requires some preparation time. And you say, well, that's interesting, very interesting. But I want you to make application of that, and it's very important that you understand it. You and I ought to be prepared for ministry. If you're going to be a missionary overseas, you have got to make preparations. If I'm going to preach a message, listen, I can't come on this stage and speak to you unless I've made preparations. And if you are involved in the Iwana ministry, you've got to make preparations. If we're going to weekly have a bulletin, somebody's got to prepare for those things. We're getting down to brass tacks, but these things are very important as far as even being prepared for the Lord's coming. I heard of a Sunday school teacher, they told us in seminary one time, this guy, he would come and he wore a hat to church. And he'd have his quarterly, he'd bring his quarterly to class and he would teach the class. When he would leave the class, he took that Sunday school quarterly, put it up on the shelf and took his hat and went home. When he'd come back the next Sunday, he'd take his hat off, take the Sunday school quarterly and go into class. I want to ask you, how much preparation did he do for that class? Nothing. There are people who think the service of Jesus Christ requires zero preparation. They are wrong. Much, much preparation needs to be done, if that's for work or whatever the ministry is. And some of the things that just get me all up tense is when I come into the service and things are not prepared. Oh, man, that drives me nuts. We had this service, the twilight service the other night, and I said, wow, this is so bad. We got special visitors here, and we're preparing at the last minute. That ought not to be. Can I hear an amen on that? We need to be there ahead of time. And listen, if you've got, they can be in trouble in the family this way too, because somebody doesn't have any obligation at church. Listen, you might be a spouse, you might be a child, but if there's somebody in the family that needs to get there and get things prepared, you got to be ready to go too. You say, well, I don't have anything, so we can go at the last minute. No, no, come on. Give a break to the person that has to be there on time, right? Get there on time with them. This is very practical. Thinking about the coming of Jesus Christ, you need to prepare specifics, even to do the work that you need to do. Does that make sense? How practical is this? You know, going on with that, other examples. How about when Jesus was going to Jerusalem, and he sent disciples ahead of them to prepare the village that he was going to come to. They had to prepare because Jesus was coming to this village. In that one village, they didn't want to receive Jesus because he was going on to Jerusalem. And James and John were so ticked off. They were so mad. So they said, Lord, do you want us to call down fire from heaven? And Jesus said, you don't know the spirit in which you're speaking. So this is just for you and I in understanding, Jesus was gracious. It was gracious. You and I ought to have grace as well. I had a professor in seminary who said that be very hard on yourself where you draw the line on things, what need to be done. But be gracious where you draw it for other people, right? Don't be legalistic on what other people have to do. You make sure you do what you need to do. But he said, we'll just go to another city, Jesus said, in the Samaria, when these people didn't receive him. Let's not call down fire from heaven. He was gracious, even as the master was. Well, how about other preparations? Let me go over some of these. Paul asked Philemon, prepare a guest room for his coming. You and I ought to be prepared to be hospitable, to prepare so we can show hospitality to other people. How about this one? Paul wrote to the Corinthians, letting them know he's going to send brothers to prepare them for giving a generous offering. You and I need to be prepared to give. That's good, isn't it? These are things that are so important to the Lord's work. Somebody has a need, we need to be prepared. You cannot live your life so that, we're just barely getting by, and I hope they don't cut off my electricity before the next, you know what I'm saying? We got to work and have things ready. Work with your hands that we might have to give to those who have need. When a missionary comes, we might have something to give to them and give a nice offering, right? We're prepared for it, giving. And then here's some other things that are cool when you look at this. Paul told Timothy, he said, shun profane and vain idle babblings, for they will increase to more ungodliness, and their message will spread like cancer. Hymenaeus and Philetus are of this sort, who have strayed concerning the truth, saying the resurrection has already passed, and they overthrow the faith of some. Nevertheless, the solid foundation of God stands, having the seal. The Lord knows those who are His, and let everyone who names the name of Jesus Christ depart from iniquity. But in a great house there are not only vessels of gold and silver, but also of wood and clay, some for honor and some for dishonor. Therefore, if anyone cleanses himself from the latter, he will be a vessel for honor, sanctified and useful for the master, prepared for every good work. Flee youthful lusts and pursue righteousness, faith, love, peace, and those who call on the Lord of a pure heart. You and I ought to be prepared for doing every good work. Your attitude ought to be right. And listen, in this context, there are people who want to get you in an argument. I've got a brother like that. Every time I get around my older brother, sooner or later, I tell my wife, I've got to really be prepared. Because he gets your goat so badly. And pretty soon you're arguing with him. That does not accomplish, it doesn't accomplish the Lord's will when you're arguing and fighting. So you need to stay away from those who are not doing what they need to do. They're teaching false things. Don't get embroiled in argumentation with them. You know what you need to do. Have your attitude right. Shun profane argumentation, but rather concentrate on your own heart, fleeing youthful lust, pursuing righteousness, those type of things. I remember we were down south one time at Nancy's aunt and uncle's house, and they went to a Presbyterian church, and Uncle Bob Dutton, he said, he talked about the argumentation going on at church. And one group says that you could lose your salvation, he said, and another group says, no, you could never lose your salvation. I knew where I stood on that issue. But then he said this, he kind of surprised me, I think they're both going to hell. He was really ticked at the argumentation going on at church. And you know what? You might know where you stand too, but you know what I mean? You take your stand on that, but don't get embroiled in this fighting and fuming going on. That's not what the Lord wants of us. We need to be prepared. Shun those who are teaching false teaching, but don't get involved in the argumentation. Servant of the Lord must not strive, right? It says this, must not quarrel, but be gentle, all apt, able to teach, patient, and humility, correcting those who are in opposition, if God perhaps will grant them repentance, so that they may know the truth and that they may come to their sense and escape the snare of the devil, having been taken captive of him to do his will. We need to be prepared for that, though. Well, let's go on here. Also, we need to be prepared to give an answer to everyone who asks us about the hope that we have. That's what Peter said, right? Be ready to give an answer to everybody who asks you about the hope in us. You ought to, somebody said, you know, this is right here is a track rack. If you're not going to get a chance to talk to people, you ought to be able to give a message. Be prepared. If somebody asks, you ought to be prepared to give an answer. You know, when Paul talked about the armor of a believer, he said in Ephesians, we ought to have our feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. That's one of the pieces of armament, spiritual armament, to be ready to tell the gospel. We need to be prepared. Well, just closing off here, let's go on to the next slide. There are some wrong preparations which are foolish. If you're in Luke chapter 12, if you go back, Jesus talked about, he spoke a parable to them in this verse 16 and following. He said this, "The ground of a certain rich man yielded plentifully. And he thought within himself, saying, 'What shall I do, since I have no room to store my crops?' So he said to I know what I'll do. I'll pull down my barns and build greater, and there I'll store my crops and my goods, and I will say to my soul, 'Soul, you have many goods laid up for yourself for years. Take your ease, eat, drink, and be merry.' But God said to him, 'Fool, this night your soul will be required of you. Then whose will those things be that you have provided or prepared?' So it is who lays up treasure for himself and is not rich for God." Some people take pride in their preparations for their retirement and things. You know, you can make a lot of selfish preparations just for yourself. That's foolish. The preparations that we need to make are those which are going to be involved in Christ's work. Jesus goes on and talks about the one who is wise. He says down later on, "Let your waist be girded, your lamps burning, and you yourselves be like men who wait for their master, when he will return from the wedding. And when he comes and knocks, you may open to him immediately. Therefore be ready, for the Son of Man is coming at an hour you do not expect." Finally, we're to have being prepared is to have the attitude of a servant. Jesus told the parable that when you've done everything you need to do, say, "We're still unprofitable. We've just done what we need to do." Let's go on looking at a conclusion here, okay? We've been considering preparations from the new year, and even as we wait for the Lord's return. However, all of us, the preparations are worthless unless, first of all, the preparations that are made are the Lord's preparations, not our own planning. If you want God to laugh at you, you do your own planning. Scripture says in Proverbs, "The human mind plans the way, but the Lord directs its steps." Proverbs 19 says, "The human mind may devise many plans, but it is the purpose of the Lord that will be established." That's where prayer is important. We need to seek the Lord out and say, "Lord, what do you want me to do?" And then you look into his word to find answers. And then you allow that still small voice to guide you during the day. You hear the voice behind you say, "This is the way, walk in it." But you're looking for the Lord's coming. You're looking to prepare and make plans and preparations, the Lord's preparations. And the second thing that's important is this. There's preparation and there's a time for doing. When there's a time for executing, that's the time to get things done. You remember Jesus in John chapter 4, we looked at it. He said, "My food is to do the will of the Lord, to do the will, do his will, and to finish his work." To finish his work. Not just to do it halfway, but to complete the task he's given it to us to do. Jesus, throughout his days, the Lord prepared things for the Lord, even appointments that he was to make. But the Lord specialized in doing those things that the Lord would have him to do. It says again in Ephesians, "We're created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them." We don't just keep on preparing. We walk in those things. We do it and we finish the work he's had us to do. Well, we've been talking to believers today. I trust most of us are believers in here today. We need to be ready for his coming. We need to prepare. We need to plan for his coming. In general, watching and waiting, but specifically make preparations. But then we need to perform those things which the Lord would have us to do. For those who have not trusted in Jesus Christ, listen, there's nothing a person can do to gain God's service. He has done all that work. He's prepared salvation. He went to the cross, right? To give to us eternal life. That's the only way we can enter into his kingdom. If it's given to us, there's a wedding feast being planned. Jesus said we need the wedding garment, the appropriate garment to get in that plan. It's perfection. That's the garment we need, perfection. And there's only one way that comes. And that's by the work of Jesus Christ did on the cross and we receiving that work done for us in our behalf. Let's look to the Lord in closing prayer. Our Heavenly Father, even as we look to this new year, Lord, I once again ask that we might keep that front and center in our mind. We get preoccupied. Father, when our car is on the blanks, Father, we're focused on that area. When things don't go right in the home, Father, we need to focus on those areas. Father, there are so many things that distract us, and we need to get these things done. But Lord, help us to remember that you are watching and that you're ready to come. Help us to be prepared for your coming, always looking, always seeking to do those works which you want us to do, which you have designed and prepared beforehand for us to do. We give you thanks now as we ask these things for Christ's glory. Amen.
Let's stand together one more time.